It's a joy and delight to see all of you here today. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There are a lot of churches that cancel today. When I call pastor says, you know, if I ask if everything is going to be okay on Sunday, he said yes. But beloved, if here was closed down, I can find in some way to go. Hallelujah. Amen. I define in some way if it's still in Brooklyn to gather and to praise the God that we serve. I have come to tell you today it pays to serve God. Amen. Under every circumstances that we may go through, in any national crisis, God is above the crisis. We must be consistent in our everyday walking with Jesus Christ. Nothing must change us. Even like Daniel, when the writing on the wall, not in fact, when he was cast into the lion's den, he slept like a baby. He continued his prayer. We are his hands and his feet here on earth. We got to be positive and give hope to people. I could never get out the house with such a joy in my heart, especially now, because I'm meeting with people and distressed people, from bus driver to whoever you be, that I can say something and give hope to a hopeless world. Always remember, we are his hands, his feet, his voice. We are his, the sheep of his pasture. We belong to God. Who do you belong to? We belong to our God. He is in control of this universe. We must always understand that God is in control. And because I am a sheep of his pasture, he looks after me. He's going to look after you. He will always take care of his children. I come today to encourage all of us and to strengthen our faith and to continue to walk with God. Amen. Our theme today, can we get it on the board, please? Thank you, Jesus. Let's all say it together. Serve the Lord with... I think I saw that word in the reading. Yeah, serving the Lord in the reading. Something, gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible tells us, Luke 10:27 says, we are to love the Lord with all our hearts. We are to love him with all our soul. We are to love him with all our strength, with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. I want to read this true story. One morning, a Hindu mother went out to the banks of the Ganges, leading by either hand her two children. A missionary saw her going to the banks of the river, and he knew why she was going there. He looked into the eyes with all the pleadings of fatherhood and tried to persuade her not to do it, not to give up one of these little children. Then he looked at the faces of the two children. One of them was a perfect baby, as any mother ever held close to her heart in America or anywhere. The other was blind and lame. But he knew he could not persuade that woman to break from the thought of centuries in a single hour's pleading. He came back to the spot and saw the Hindu mother still standing by the riverbank, her heart breaking. One child was missing. As the missionary drew near, he discovered that the perfect child was gone. The mother had kept the little blind and lame one for herself. As he looked into the eyes of that mother, he said to her, "Woman, if you had to give one, why didn't you give this little lame and blind one and keep the perfect one for yourself?" She said, "Oh, sir, I do not know what kind of God you serve here in America. But I know that out here in India, our God expects us to give him our very best. I've come to tell you long before this virus, God gave me the message to preach today. And that wouldn't have changed if it was one person doing the same. Nothing will change. God desires us to worship him with all our spirit, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our might. We must serve him with gladness, or as one writer says, we serve him with celebration. How many of you look at American sports? Put your hand up. Do you see what happens at the stadium? And that's a worldly event, isn't that so? And a secular thing, yes, sister. When it comes to the God who made us, we are the sheep of his pasture. We must come with gladness or celebrate him when we come. One translation says, "Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration." You celebrate. You see how I just celebrate? I celebrate anywhere, any church, anything. As long as God is in this thing, they know I'm in the house, you know. Because I can't keep quiet. There is something inside my spirit that it has to come out emotionally. I just can't keep quiet with the one that I love. We must celebrate when we come to church or any gathering where God's name is mentioned. Come before his presence with celebration. Come before him with shouts of joy. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture. Enter his gates with thanks. Enter his courtyards with praise. Thank him. Bless his name. Because the Lord is good. His loyal love lasts forever. His faithfulness lasts generation after generation. Brothers and sisters, serving the Lord with gladness or celebration. Think what this assembly will be, that if every time we come, we're celebrating big time. We're celebrating the God that we serve. If you love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, there is something about your emotions going to tell it. It is just that you can't keep that hand in your pocket. It is just you can't keep that hand by your side. It is just that that voice cannot be silent unto the God who made you. The Bible tells us, beloved, David danced before the Lord. Can we have that? You see it there? David danced before the Lord when the ark was returning to David's city. Now, I want to read the account, hallelujah, to you. It's in 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 23. Hear what it says. Thank you, Lord. David dressed in a linen priestly vest, danced with all his strength before the Lord. This is how David and the entire house of Israel brought up the Lord's chest with shouts and trumpet blast. As the Lord's chest entered David's city, Saul's daughter, Michal, was watching from her window. She saw King David jumping, dancing before the Lord, and she lost all respect for him. In the Lord's chest was brought in and put in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. Then David offered entire burnt offerings in the Lord's presence, in addition to well-being sacrifices. When David finished offering the entire burnt offerings and the well-being sacrifices, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of the heavenly forces. He distributed food among all the people of Israel to the whole crowd, male and female, each receiving a loaf of bread, a date of cake, and a raisin cake. Then all the people went back to their homes. Listen to this. David went home to bless his household. But Saul's daughter, Michal, came out to meet him. How did Israel's king honor himself today? She said, by exposing himself in the plain view of the female servants of his subjects, like any indecent person would. David replied to Michal, I was celebrating before the Lord, who chose me over your father and his entire family, and appointed me leader over the Lord's people, over Israel. And I will celebrate before the Lord again. I may humiliate myself even more, and I may be humbled in my own eyes, but I will be honored by the female servants you are talking about. The very last verse in that chapter. Michal, Saul's daughter, had no children to the day of her death. Let that sink into our spirit. I have a little note about her life. She made the mistake of imagining that dignity prohibits the display of emotion, demanding a constant pose of superiority in order to enforce respect. to her the sight of David dancing enthusiastically with the joy of heaven in his heart was despicable. She could not keep her thoughts to herself, but rushed out to meet her royal husband, loudly voicing her sneering contempt. Poor Michael. She was so anxious to maintain her position as a queen, and with what other people thought, rather than with the praises of the Lord. Who was Michal? Saul's daughter and the wife of David. Job had a wife in the times of calamity too. And she said, curse God and die. Your enemies shall be of your own household. The King James Version said, she despised her husband, the king, because he was dancing and praising and worshiping God. Because the ark that signifies the very presence of God was returning to the rightful city. What is stopping you from praising the Lord? Are you more concerned about what people say? Are you so dignified like Michael? Or the king can't be dancing and shouting and praising the Lord? It will bring out your dignity. Friend, it's only one thing I know brings your dignity along is sin. Sin brings you down, righteousness exalts. The Bible says she never bore any children until the day of her death. What about your spiritual fruitfulness? Your spiritual fruitfulness. Our lives can be fruitless. Our lives can be so fruitless. Because you know why? You don't have the spirit of praise, to worship and to praise God. You don't recognize that the Creator who made you, who saved you, who died for you. When we testify, remember, you're doing a personal testimony of what God has done for you. When last you open your mouth and testify. She was fruitless until the day of her death. And we need, beloved, as Michael, fruitless because she disdained her husband. I wonder today, you know what I'm thinking? Whenever we go to worship services anywhere, I wonder if you have that same kind of feeling towards people that worship and praise God. Always remember, we serve an omniscient God who sees the thoughts. The Bible says she despised her husband in her heart, but God saw. Whatever we think, always remember the God of heaven who we have to deal with, he knows. That's why it is always so good. Think pure thoughts. Think pure things about your brethren. Think pure things on the whole. On the whole, man. On the whole. On the whole. Think good, lovely things. I'm not saying that I love you. and in my heart I despise you. Oh no, friend. Oh no, beloved. She despise. And if silently you're in that category, guess what? You know yourself, you're declining spiritually. When we come into the house of the Lord, it's a true celebration of Him. You see, friend, each one of us, we come from different backgrounds, we got different testimonies. Some might be more sprightly, some might be more distant, some might be more enthusiastically, some might give God praise anyhow. Give God praise anyhow. And then there are others. Oh, from what God has took them from, how God has saved them, they can't stop shouting and praising and giving God thanks, because once I was blind, but now I see. I can't keep quiet. The Bible tells us that when the woman with the issue of blood, the word says she came down on her knees and she gave God the praise and she gave God the thanks. We must never, ever be ashamed to celebrate when you come into the house of God, man. Big time celebration. Big time celebration. Big time celebration. Because this is the God who made us, and we are the sheep of His pasture. So Michael became barren until she died because she despised her husband who was dancing and praising God wholeheartedly. The ark has come home. Friend, I come to encourage you today. Open your mouth. Lift up your hands. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, your emotion. Because everybody has different kind of emotions. Amen. Some would cry. Some would jump. Some, whatever it is. But there must be an emotion towards God. There must be something towards God. There must be something towards God. I cannot sit silent. I must make some movement. Because something has happened inside. So then, I urge you, beloved, serve the Lord with celebration. You see, like now, it's more prayer, more praise. More prayer, more praise, more dancing. More celebrating, more celebrating. Because guess why? Guess why? Guess why? The Lord is watching over you and your household. You are safe and secure. You bring glory to His name every day. His smile and approval is upon your life. And you're walking circumspectly every single day of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're dancing and praising the Lord like David, the presence of the Lord. And let me tell you something. When you see how the presence of the Lord comes on you, there's so many things you can do. When the presence of the Lord is upon you, it expresses itself physically. Carmel does sing a song sometimes. All I want to do is to cry. You see, we express it in different ways, but something must come out. Something must come out. And then, this next one now. What can prevent us from serving the Lord with gladness or celebration? What can prevent us from serving the Lord with gladness or celebration? Listen to this. Goliath could have never silenced David. He was such a cute little youngster, this big giant. But he couldn't silence David. King Saul never was able to take away his song in spite of all the things that the king did to David. He was never able to take away his song. The wilderness hardships, even Satan himself, had never been able to close David's lips. But there is a three-letter word that closed his lips. And do you know what that word is? Who knew that word? It's a three-letter word. Who know what that word is? Anybody knows that three-letter word? Say it for me, please. Sin. Sin was able to shut up and silence him. The sin of adultery. Psalm 51 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your faithful love. Wipe away my wrongdoings according to your great compassion. Wash me completely clean of my guilt. Purify me from my sin, because I know my wrongdoings. My sin is always right in front of me. I've sinned against you, you alone. I've committed evil in your sight. That's why you are justified when you render your verdict completely correct. When you issue your judgment, yes, I was born in guilt and sin from the moment my mother conceived me. And yes, you want truth in the most hidden places. You teach me wisdom in the most secret place. Purify with hyssop. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and celebration again. Let the bones you crushed rejoice once more. Hide your face from my sin. Wipe away all my guilty deeds. Create a clean heart for me, God. Put a new faithful spirit deep inside me. Please don't throw me out in your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Return the joy of your salvation to me. And sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach wrongdoings your ways, and sinners come back to you." Now hear me, this are coming down. You might not, we're not adulterous people of committing sexual sin, because we don't know about that, you know. I think it's the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." We keep away from fleshly sins. But we sin in thought, in word, and in deed. Listen to this. You know how you used to praise the Lord? How you used to dance before him? How you used to sing his praises? How you used to celebrate big time? Whatever has come and silenced you, you need to confess it to God that he can have back your joy. David was silenced. He couldn't sing anymore. He had to get right back, the sweet singer of Israel, and confess it to God. He says, "Then will I teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted." Hear this. If you are not in the place flowing in the Spirit, sinners can't be converted. If you're not moving in the spirit and you're living your victorious Christian life because what you have, you're giving them. But if Satan has silenced your voice and he silenced it a long time, if Satan has silenced you in your celebration, you need, as the word says this morning, serve the Lord with gladness and celebration. It means that there is no barrier blocking the praises of Almighty God. You think you're sitting there watching me. Think of what God has done for you. We were nothing, absolutely nothing, going down to the pit of hell. But he saw you, he saw me, and make a beautiful peace out of our lives. So then, I was born to serve the Lord. You can't get yourself mixed up with petty stupidness. Them petty stupidness. I ain't got no time with those things, brethren. Sometimes, as the wise man says, the little foxes spoil the vines. Sometimes the little things that you and I do, it grieves the Holy Ghost so that you can't lift your hand, you can't dance, you can't praise, you can't nothing because it's blocking what you did. I've come to tell you today, serve the Lord with celebration. Praise his holy name with dance. Praise him and bless his holy name. He is God. He is God. We are his sheep of his pasture. He demands the best worship. Like the Hindu woman, she cast her good child into this river of Ganges. She kept the lame one, the blind one. Let me tell you something today. If I can't serve God with my whole being, I ain't serving. If I can't do that thing all with my spirit and might, me ain't doing nothing. He demands that we give him the best in everything. The song says, give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Give him first place in your life. My first hours belong to God. The offering, the tithes, everything I owe belong to Christ. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this morning, when the nation and around the world is crying out and there is disaster all around us, I'm glad our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We're standing on the solid rock and we can worship him regardless of corona or not. Hallelujah. Because this too shall pass, but Jesus Christ remains the same. Amen. Listen to this before we go. You are his hands. You are his feet. And in this troubled world in which we live, people need to hear something from you. Your hands need to stretch out. Your voice need to speak a life-giving word. Your heart need to be touched with sorrow. And so each day we do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. Because our life on earth is but a span. And so I do the best I can. Stand with me as we sing that song. Thank you, Lord. Ready, Mike?